Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Welcome, guys. Today we are going to be talking about a subject that Jeff just brought up about the mindset of looking at deals. So looking at potential deals in different kind of ways, really, right?
Yep.
So let's get into it, Jeff. Tell me what you were thinking.
All right, so you know, one of the things that I think that we start to get into this routine of looking at properties in one way. So if we're a rehabber, we're looking at, hey, is there enough room for us to
make
buy profit. The property, rehab it, put it back on the market, deal with all the expenses, and we still get the profit that we desire.
Right.
And we're trying to make everything kind of fit into that
mold.
Yeah. If we're a buy and hold, we're trying to get a certain maybe cash on cash return.
Right.
What I want to talk about today is how we can look at deals maybe a little differently and where it may take us. So this might not be totally about creative financing, but I want you to start getting in the mindset of how you can look at deals differently, all of a sudden seeing different options. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so let's start off. This has zero to do with creative financing, but I think it's a good example. Okay.
Okay.
So let's take that we have a property that the ARV is $250,000.
Okay.
Okay. And the seller wants $190,000 for it, needs $30,000 in repairs. Where would you need to be, Jonathan, if you were going to wholesale this property?
Probably 150, 160.
Somewhere in there, right?
Yeah.
So I came up with 155, okay?
Okay.
And so we're still a ways away, right? I mean, we're $35,000 away in terms of getting a deal done.
Right.
Okay?
If they want 190, yeah.
Okay. And this would be as if you were going to wholesale it to a rehabber, correct?
Yeah.
So, and a rehabber would look at it similarly,
yeah.
In terms of they want it in that price range too, because they got to keep their margins, right?
Right.
So, what if we thought about selling this to maybe a buy and hold investor? Okay. So, let's see how the deal changes a bit.
Okay.
So, let's say that this property would rent for $1,800 a month. Okay.
Uh huh.
So what if we, let's kind of figure some stuff out as if a buy and hold investor would buy it. So let's say that it's worth $250,000. So instead of having to put in $30,000, they probably can get away with $15,000, $18,000, somewhere in there to make it nice, rent ready.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just call it $20,000.
Okay.
So all of a sudden now, let's figure out that we know that the taxes run $150 a month. Let's say insurance is $40 a month. And let's say that water, sewer, garbage is, let's say $80 a month, something like that.
Okay.
So we have $270 in expenses.
Okay.
Okay. So if you were to go refinance this property and you fixed it up, so you've got $20,000 into it, and you refinanced it, let's say that you can get an 80% loan, and it might be 75% depending on, you know, what bank you use, but let's say 80%.
Okay.
Okay, so at $250,000, you're financing $200,000, right?
Okay.
And let's estimate a little high. Let's say it's 6% interest. I think you can do a little better than that, but let's just call it 6%.
Okay.
That's $1,200, $1,199 principal and interest. Okay, and we add the $270 to it, so we're at $1,470 a month. We said it would rent for $1,800, right?
Yeah.
So there's like a $340 a month cash flow.
Yep.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So we know that we're $35,000 away from getting a deal here. But what if we could offer, instead of the $155, $175? Are we considerably closer to getting a deal?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so let's look at what the numbers would be if we bought it at $175. So when I gave you my $155 offer, that's wholesaling the property and us making $15,000.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to keep that the same. Okay, I still want to make 15 grand. So we buy it for 175 and we sell it for 190.
Okay.
Okay. Someone puts 20 grand into it. They're into it for 210. Right?
Right.
They now refinance, like more of the Burr method, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they refinance and they pull out all of their money minus 10 grand. Not bad, right?
Right.
So they bought a investment property for $10,000 out of pocket, and let's just call that, you know, you're making $300 a month, which isn't huge. It's not a super good deal, but it is cash flow. So you're making $3,600 a year cash flow divided by the $10,000 that you have in it. You have a 36% return cash on investment. So cash on cash return.
Right.
Do you think someone might buy this?
Yeah, it's definitely a good cash on cash return.
Right. I mean, it's not like, you know, get rich kind of deal. It's not like a huge cash flow, but you don't have much money in it. And whenever you have very little money in an investment, your return on investments probably can be considerably higher.
So, right.
But now all of a sudden we're 20 grand, right? We're only a $15,000 difference between what they're asking and what we can pay. That's something that can be negotiated.
Yeah.
So if we look at this only one way, we're pretty much going in with the lowest price. Some will hit, some won't. But why not give ourselves an opportunity with the way that we look at things?
Yeah.
Okay. So that I thought would be kind of a simple example to understand that same property.
Yeah.
All we're really looking at in this case is who is our potential buyer.
Right.
So if the buyer changes, the buyer may have different needs.
Yeah, different criteria.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I want to give you another example. And this is a little different because someone brought me a lead. Okay, out of the areas that we typically work in, and didn't have a whole lot of information for me up front. So I'll kind of go through my mindset of how I kind of looked at this. And then because I looked at it, I got more involved, and I'll tell you where we're at with it as we go.
Okay.
All right, so someone brought me 8 duplexes in Texas, okay? They're being sold as a package. These duplexes are bigger. So they're about 3,000 square feet, and each side is 4-bedroom, 3.5-bath. They are a couple of blocks from a university, and they can be used as student housing. So if you're not familiar with student housing, you rent by the room.
Right.
So, and these can get between $500 to $600 per room.
Okay.
So income for each unit would be $2,000 to as high as $2,400 per side.
Okay.
Okay, so double that for the duplex. So $4,000 to, you know, as much as $4,800 a month per duplex.
Right.
Okay. So he brought this to me and said, hey, I'm looking for some help He did not have it under contract, but he had found the deal. It was a listed deal, so he went to the agent and gathered some information and made an offer. Okay, and the offer, so they were asking $2.8 million. It was just below that, 2.79 something.
Right.
At 2.8 million. Okay, he made an offer of like 2.2 million.
Okay.
With no idea what he was going to do if they said yes.
Okay.
But they said no. However, they countered back. And what happened was is that he got just enough information to make it sound like there was some motivation and potentially some distress. Okay?
Okay.
And they countered back at I think it was 2.6. And then it became 2.55.
Okay?
And it became clear that there was some underlying mortgage, some underlying debt that was at 4% interest. That's all we really knew. 4% interest. I had no idea of a balance. I had no idea of, you know, how long of a term. Nothing. But somehow that information was gotten that there was 4%. And I think what he did is he gave me some numbers. And he said, that's really all I got. And so I said, all right, go back and find out. Would they be open to some creative financing? Because in my mind, that's where I go.
Right.
That's immediately where I go. I'm going to ask that question because you tell me, even at $2.2 million, would I rather, I mean, $2.2 million would probably be a super good deal on this. Actually, knowing what I know now, yeah, super, super good deal. But you still got to go raise $2.2 million, right?
Right.
So if I can create owner financing and I'm looking at, you know, even $2.5, $2.6 million, what am I hoping to raise? I mean,
another four.
Well, I mean, maybe, I mean, I'm going to try to stay around 10% or less. So 300 or less, right?
I mean,
I can raise 300 in a day. 2.2 is going to require a little more time on my part.
Right.
Okay. So that's immediately where my head goes.
Yeah.
Is how do we create some financing on this? Plus, if I wanted to wholesale it, if you get a property like this under contract, and let's say $250,000 down, and it's going to cash flow really well, do you think it's hard to go and wholesale this and make $150,000, $200,000, maybe even $250,000 if you've created terms at 4% interest on a commercial type loan?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be a great cash on cash return.
Yep, especially if they don't have to find that.
They have that to put 20% down to get conventional financing
anyway.
So if
right.
I can offer it to them at 15, I mean, that's a deal right
there. Yeah,
right?
Especially at 4%.
Yeah. So that's where I'm thinking. I'm like, hey, you know, if we can get financing set up, then this is a done deal.
Yeah.
So, and they made it sound like they were open to it. And so it was presented just in general. And I thought the owner said, yes, we would entertain that. So I put together three different offers for them. Two owner financing and one cash offer, okay? Based on very little information other than they did not want to tell me their balance because they thought that that was giving me an unfair advantage on what I should be offering. But I started to think, and I'm like, I'm wondering if they owe like $2.4 million on this because they were literally saying they needed like $100,000 to $150,000, and I'm like, that's like the realtor commission on this and some closing costs, and it became clear that there was some motivating factors here. So so I kept wondering, hey, I wonder if we're taking over like, Yep, there's not much equity here, and if we could just give them that down payment, that we could just take over existing debt. And so that was like one of the offers. One was a little bit higher, so like another $100,000+ with a little less money down, but they would get more money over the course of, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it was.
Okay.
So it came back through the realtor that there's two partners involved. One partner's like, yep, let's do this owner financing thing. Why wouldn't we? The senior partner, who is the decision maker, said, no, not doing that. Want a cash. I want out of this. And what it became was that the underlying mortgage was private money. And I don't know if there was like some issues, if there was a balloon payment due, something, but there is pressure to get this paid off.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like heartbroken that, you know, we didn't get one of those financed because it would be such a simple turnaround.
Right.
Okay. And I had my mind set on something, even though at least the good thing was, is I still made a cash offer.
Right.
Okay. And my cash offer was 2.3 something. Okay. So it was a little bit more than what my partner put forth to begin with.
Yeah.
But I wanted there to be a difference. I wanted them to take one of the owner financing offers.
Yeah.
So they didn't, and then they countered my cash offer, and then I countered, and they countered, and we finally came to terms around 2.4. Okay.
Okay.
So 400,000 less than what they were asking, and so again, I would have never gotten this far if I didn't at least see an opportunity for something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you didn't look at it in a different way, so.
But let me tell you why this is still a deal. And, you know, I remember the night that it was being described to me. I didn't have this information. So, you know, I had some very random numbers. And, you know, I basically told them I'm really not interested unless I can create some terms. But then I thought we could. So I got a little more involved.
Right.
So at $2.4 million, that puts each duplex at $300,000. And it's a little more. It's like 2.41. So I'm into this for about $301,000 per duplex, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So there's an excellent comp that sold just 2 weeks prior to this on the same street that's identical. I just don't know what kind of condition. It looked like in good condition. I don't know if it was excellent. By the way, we've done a couple of walkthroughs, and so far we've seen 5 of these 16 units.
Okay.
And they're primo. Like, need nothing. Like, granite and hardwood and new paint. I mean, beautiful. Really nice. Okay?
Okay.
But this property sold for $403.
The comp.
Yeah, the comp.
Okay.
So we're into this for, like, 75% loan-to-value. On properties that need no work. The only issue, which is what we've found as we've gone through our due diligence, is that they've not been properly managed. So there's some vacancies. You could tell that there were people put into some of these units at half of what they should have been put in. And my guess is that they were hemorrhaging money, and they had to start bringing in money, so they would take anyone that they could get so they could start helping cover some expenses.
Okay.
All the leases are up within 6 months. You can do what you need to do. This should be student housing. Some of it is. You would start doing student housing like right away. It's December. We'd want to get people set up between January and March for July of next of 2019.
Right.
So we'd want to be doing this now, even though the leases go until then. But do you see first that I had a particular mindset? In this case, it helped me.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at it only one way, and I was lucky enough to look at it long enough to find that there was other opportunity here.
Yeah.
Okay. So right now, what we're doing is we're looking at raising the money to buy it, or we're looking to wholesale it. And we can wholesale it one of two ways. We can wholesale it as a package, or we can wholesale them individually. So they're all individually on separate tax ID parcels.
Okay.
So, and I'm not sure which route we're going to go, but we're going to create all the options available, and we'll look at them and make a decision what works best.
Okay.
So, but now I want you to look at what we could potentially do, depending on which option comes forward. So let's say that we brought in a money partner, okay? And that money partner we were just going to joint venture with. So we'll split everything 50-50, okay? So could we set up some new leases and then immediately just go put them on the market with pending leases for July?
You could, yeah.
Yeah. Or could we just go put them on the market right now?
Yeah.
We could. So let's say that the ones that are rented well, we're going to sell for at least 403, because this one, the one that sold for 403 was getting $3,500 a month, okay? We may have a few that are in that range or better. So those are all going to sell for, if we're going to sell them retail, let's sell them for $4,000 to $4,410.
Yeah.
Okay? And then maybe some that we have to discount because they're vacant. Maybe $385.
Okay.
Remember, we're into this for about $301 a piece.
Right.
Okay? So even if we have to pay commission, 6%, closing costs, whatever, we still have income coming in, by the way. So, you know, there would be no holding costs if this is someone's money, right?
Yeah.
So we're making money as we're selling these. And let's say on average let's say that we don't do that well. Let's say we only make, we net $350 on each deal. So that's after all expense, not including any income that we've collected while we're holding them. But let's say we had to discount them. My investor wasn't very impatient. So we only made 50 grand a piece, 49, we split it. So we made about 25,000 per duplex. It's 200,000.
Yeah.
How long do you think this will take?
To turn around?
Or, yeah.
Six months.
Yeah, yep. 6 months. Okay. Not bad, right?
Yeah.
Doing very little of anything.
Yeah.
Okay. So what if we buy it with private money and then we refinance them individually? Okay. So we go get conventional loans, right? So these should appraise for four, right? So what if, let's just say that we could get 75%.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, 75%. They're at 300, right? Isn't that about where we're at?
Yep.
We might have to leave a couple grand in each one.
In the deal,
I'm okay with that, by the way.
Yeah.
So let's just see what that kind of payment would be. 600, 300,000, let's say 6%, 30 years. So 1,800.
Okay.
And let's say that, remember, I'm guessing that we're going to get $4,000 a month income. So these should make about $1,000 a month income.
Yeah.
So we could certainly do that and just keep them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be okay. I mean, we'd have that. We just talked last episode of having very little money in some of these. So if I had like $5,000, but I'm making $12,000 a year. I mean, what's that return on investment?
It's pretty good,
right? Okay. So we could go that route. Well, let's talk about, because this is the Creative Financing Podcast, what's another route that we could go if we did this, where we refinance the properties individually?
You can sell them on terms.
That's correct. So let's look at what that might look like.
Okay.
So if we, first of all, this is a lot more work that we actually have to go and buy it and then refinance them, each one. But is there a tremendous amount of risk? I mean, at least on the surface, there is risk. One is we have an $1,800 a month payment for 8 of these.
Yeah.
We're not getting the kind of cash flow that we would like. Although right now, so 1,800 times 8, like 15,000, I think. And the whole property is only bringing in 17.5 right now. So we'd be running a negative cash flow. Okay?
Okay.
So that's not my ideal situation, but let's put that to the side. And let's just see what we could do.
On terms.
Okay. So we think that it's worth about $400,000. We might sell it for $400,000 and sell it as is without having to lease anything. Or we could go and lease things and sell it for considerably more.
Right.
Okay. So let's just say that we sell them all for $410,000.
Okay.
So I think we could up it to $420,000, $425,000 even, but we're just going to be conservative here.
Okay.
So on 410, I want at least 10% down. Is that good for an investor?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say that we're getting $45,000 down.
Okay.
So 410 minus 45,000, that's 365.
Okay.
That's the principal balance of the buyer's note.
Right.
That's the note that they still owe us.
Yeah.
So we're collecting $45,000 per duplex.
Right.
So let's just figure out what our terms would be to our buyer.
Okay.
So 365, let's try 5.5%. Because is that better than what they would get at a bank right now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
5.5.
Yep.
30 year?
Yeah.
It's about 2,072.
Yeah. So that puts us at almost $270 to $275 from where we would be. But I don't love it because we're paying 6% and they're paying 5.5%.
Right.
So let's say 5.75. That's getting us up to 2,130. So
yep.
Now we're making about $330 a month.
Yeah.
What if we just did 6%? I like that more.
So 2188.
So could we make that work at anywhere in between 5.5% to 6%?
Yes.
We could. Okay. So we may start at 6, but we have some leeway that we can make work. So now I want you to figure out at 6%, let's say that we're willing to be in this for 3 years, okay?
Okay.
So how about a 36-month balloon?
So balloon payment, 350?
Yeah, 350, 706, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Okay. So now let's just figure out, because this is going to be a little bit of a pain, let's figure out if it was really worth our time, okay?
Okay.
So how much money did we make up front on each one?
45.
Okay, times 8.
Yep.
We made 360,000 when we sold.
Right.
Okay. Let's say that we sold them all at 6%. That might be a little bit optimistic, but let's just say we had a 388, I think, something like that, cash flow on each one.
Yeah.
Times 8. is $3,104 per month times 36 is another $111,744, right?
Over the course of 3 years.
Yep, over the course of 3 years. And we don't have to deal with any vacancy, no maintenance, no repairs, nothing, right?
You're just the note holder.
That's right. Okay. Now, the balloon payments. Okay. At the end of 3 years, they owe us $350,706.
Right.
Okay. Our balloon payment, well, we don't have a balloon payment, but what we would owe would be $288,252. Okay, that would be where we would
be at. Yeah, so there's a big difference there.
$62,454 times 8. Another $499,632.
Okay.
If we add them all up, over a three-year period of time, we will make $971,376.
Yeah.
Pretty good on a property that, if I wouldn't have looked at it in a particular way and then was willing to open my mind a few different ways.
As far as exit strategies.
Right. Well, first, exit strategies so that I could understand what we could buy it for. Because to me, when I looked at this first, I only was interested if we could get terms.
Right.
That was my mistake. I should always look at it from every avenue.
Yeah. It's like you said, you should provide options for sellers.
That's right. Which I
as
did.
As many as you can.
Which I did. But I felt like, hey, if we could create terms, we could make $250. $250,000 pretty quick.
Right.
But as you can see, there's some different options here.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure which option we'll go for. But do you think that if I had an investor, okay, if I had an investor that had this money, just lying around, not doing anything, that I could show them a couple of different ways that they would do really well? I mean, even if we just split it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're making $500,000 with, plus we're not adding in the cash flow that we're getting, $17,500 a month right now or any other people that we may put into some of these units.
Right.
So I wanted to talk about this because a lot of it comes down to how you're looking at particular deals. And whether it's on the exit strategy or the buy strategy, you've got to open your mind a little bit. The goal should be is there a problem and how do I solve it? And if there's not a problem per se that you've diagnosed yet, how can I figure out a way that I can get involved in this? And I like to look at it as how can I get involved with little to no risk in this?
Yeah.
And then I start going from there. And a lot of times what you'll do is sometimes you just have to throw out offers. You haven't gathered all the information. Like this case, I did not have all the information, but I threw out offers.
Right.
And then all of a sudden some things became a little more clear. There was distress. There was motivation. And it would have been nice to know that up front, but I didn't have it.
Yeah.
So you do with what you can. Obviously, the goal is to get that information up front, but you have to get in this game. And the game is that you're always looking at ways, what can I do? Now, can you do something on every lead? No.
No.
You can't.
Right.
But the goal is to be able to look at it in different ways so that you can say, is there a way that I can make something work?
And that's the creative aspect of creative financing right there, looking at it in different ways.
Yep.
And you're really good at that.
It's years and years and years of practice. So, we mentioned this on the last episode, and I'm going to try to get my mentor, someone who really gave me a lot of my foundation years and years ago. We're going to try to get him on
an episode,
a podcast.
Cool.
And then, like I mentioned, I want to start giving people links to information that they can use. People have asked me, when are you guys going to start teaching, providing that kind of information. We may, I don't know yet. But meanwhile, I'm going to give you links to what I think are really good information. You decide if that's something that will work for you.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Well, awesome, Jeff. Thanks for going over those examples. I think if nothing else, what you guys should take away from this is just look at it one other way. Just look at the deal one other way. Jeff, with you in that the eight duplexes, I mean, you looked at it with the perception that you were going to hopefully get it on terms.
Yeah.
But you ended up getting it at a discounted cash price.
Yeah.
So you were only open to one way, but then it turned into a couple other ways, and that's kind of what you're saying here is what it could lead to if you look at it in a different way. And I really liked the first example you used there of just the single family house that's worth $250,000. If you're just throwing down the cash hammer of, you know, $155,000, you're probably not going to get the deal if someone else is coming behind you and offering them $20,000 more, you know, the $175,000. So just that one example right there, I think that should be tremendously helpful to our audience. I know it is for me because a lot of times I do just get in that singular mindset of using the cash hammer and not looking at it in another way and selling it to a buy and hold investor, as yep. you used in that example.
Well, so. And think about this. So that same example, that cash one that we talked about, the $250,000 property. So let's say that, yeah, instead of the $30,000 in repairs, that it's pretty much rent ready now. It'd still take $20,000 to rehab and be able to get that $250,000. But let's say it's rent ready. I maybe just clean the carpets and, you know, some touch up. You know, almost nothing. And still, if you were going to buy this and wholesale it to a rehabber, you're still got to be at 165 somewhere in there. You're still 25 grand between. But if you're looking at it as a rental, you know, you might be able to come in at 180, 185 even, because it's rent ready, sell it for 200 and basically say, hey, here's a property where it's ready to go, refinance it, pull almost all, if not all, of your money back out of it. Yes, you might not have a huge cash flow, but you also have no money in it.
Right.
So the way that you look at these, and, you know, granted, the reason why this particular example works is because, hey, it'll rent for a certain amount. So if that's not part of one of your calculations that you're looking at, I think you're missing some stuff. You want to know what things will rent for, as well as, you know, what they could sell for after repaired value.
Yeah, because that opens it up to buy and hold investors. If you're not factoring in what you can get in rent, you're not opening it up to that pool.
That's right. And if this would only rent for, let's say, $1,400, well, that scenario now is gone. It's not going to work. So now you'd have to look at it from another point of view, and that would be is, hey, if this was a property that was in decent shape, maybe not updated, but in good shape. Now, maybe you're looking for an owner-occupant, in which case, I'm happy to pay $190. I'm happy as long as they're open to terms.
Yeah.
So it's always about how you're looking at these to create the different ideas. And don't get overwhelmed either. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things that can come about. Mm-hmm. But you need to start training yourself to look at these properties in different ways, because it's going to open up a lot more scenarios for you, potentially to get a lot more deals and potentially to get a lot better deals.
Yes. And I think this episode, Jeff, has summed up everything we've went over so far throughout this podcast, is the fact that you just need to look at things differently and be a little more creative. I mean, that's the essence of what we're trying to teach here, is just look at things a little differently.
Yeah.
And I think we did a great job here of summing that up. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate your guys' ear. Please pass this on, rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We have a hotline that we would like to get more calls on, because really we'd like this to be a Q&A show with our audience out there, and we have a means to do that. And so we would like, if you have a question about creative financing, if you have a deal that you're potentially looking at and would like to get Jeff's input on that, I will run it by him, and we'll see how he might structure terms on a specific deal that you're looking at. You can leave us a comment, questions, whatever. Just let us know what you guys, what information you guys are looking for. That's what we would like to do. More of on this show. So anyway, hotline is 877-409-8090. Again, that's 877-409-8090. That will just go to voicemail. No one will answer live, so you can leave your questions or comments there. You can also reach us on the web at www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. Until next time, guys, create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.